Václav Havel lived almost his entire life under repression. First the Nazis, then communism. The young Havel was a poet and playwright. His work was deemed subversive, and Havel was frequently imprisoned. Then came 1989 and the Velvet Revolution. Havel was elected president of the Czech Republic, a post he holds to this day. President Havel took time from the affairs of state to talk with Steve Paulson.
Mr. President, it's hard for Americans to understand how important artists and poets and playwrights can be to the political and moral life of a country. Can you give me some sense of how important they have been to the Czech people?
Mohl byste říct něco k tomu, jaký význam mají takovéto osobnosti pro český národ?
Měli v naší moderní historii možná od století 18.
Indeed, in our modern history, from the 18th century onward, they indeed possessed heightened importance. Artists were saddled with certain political or societal expectations, and in a situation when the nation found itself under somebody else's rule. And therefore, the nation projected the absence of this kind of representation into the intellectual circles. And it seems to me that this era, which we could witness in most Central and Eastern European countries, although it had different coloring from case to case, is now coming to an end because with the advancement of democratic institutions and with a new generation of professional politicians growing up, the voice of the artists or the poets no longer possesses the somewhat unnatural urgency that it used to have as a response to those former expectations.
Let me ask a more personal question. Why did the communist leaders consider you and other artists so threatening after 1968?
Indeed, I have pondered upon this question quite extensively and have even written some essays about that. The role of people such as Solzhenitsyn in Russia or others has really been incredible. Why should somebody who controlled the police, the army, the economy, all the media of the nation be afraid of a lonely man who has nothing except a typewriter? And whenever I have thought about that, I have always concluded that the more totalitarian a regime is, the stronger is the radioactive force of free speech, if free expression is vouched for personally, and if people are willing to take personal risks on its behalf. All of a sudden, free speech, backed up by this personal commitment, proves capable of disrupting all those huge structures of power. This is certainly a very special kind of experience, and numerous cases in point in the former communist countries can corroborate that.
After the communists crushed the Prague Spring, were you totally demoralized?
I cannot say that I felt demoralized personally. On the contrary, in fact, at the time right after the occupation, I was encouraged to see the resistance that the whole society showed against the occupation, and needless to say, I joined in that resistance. It was a non-violent resistance offered against a brutal force. As for the gradual demoralization of society that came later, that's another chapter, but I can't say that I was feeling demoralized right after the occupation. It is true that the occupation came as a shock to us. Although people had previously sensed that there had been a danger in the air. A few would have thought it possible that we would see hundreds of tanks all over the country overnight. So it came as a surprise to us all. But indeed, the people responded with a kind of resistance that I think should be subjected to a sociological analysis. And I think that there was no earlier precedent of the same kind of a non-violent resistance against a brutal force that was conducted successfully.
Over the years, you were arrested many times, and at one point you were imprisoned for nearly 5 years. What was hardest about being in prison?
My impression from those times when I was arrested successively on several occasions and once spent a long time in prison, I think the most difficult thing to cope with was the complex developed psychological pressure to which we were exposed. It was no longer a matter of a brutal physical violence like in the 1950s, but we were exposed to the effect of elaborate, intricate, inconspicuous tools through which we were humiliated and through which our human dignity was attacked. And for political prisoners, of course, the situation was even harder because they were subjected to a much stricter form of surveillance and they were surrounded by informers. And moreover, there were less political prisoners in prison than in the 50s, while in the 50s there were hundreds of university professors or bishops in prison. So it was possible for them to be in contact, to talk to each other virtually every day. The situation was different from that point of view in my time. Nevertheless, it was possible to survive prison, although life in freedom obviously offers much greater comfort.
Did you ever wonder if your stubbornness, your defiance of the communist authorities would cause some of your friends to suffer, that because you would not cooperate at all, that other people on the outside who were free would have to pay for your intransigence?
This was always one of the tools of the psychological terror or blackmail. I was repeatedly told that if I made some kind of a concession, such as asking for pardon or agreeing to being dispatched to the West, that the same would happen for other prisoners as well, and that therefore their fate was in my hands, and also threats were uttered against the members of my family, my wife and my brother. My brother was even briefly imprisoned himself, so this certainly was a major instrument of that pressure.
This sounds like a tremendously difficult time, but I'm wondering if anything good came out of your time in prison.
I can hardly say whether something good came out of it for the society. That's not for me to judge. That's a task for a historian. But I do believe that the experience has given me personally something of value. And right now I cannot describe specifically what it was. Hopefully one day after I leave office I will have the time to give it more thought and perhaps to write something about that sort. Of course, this kind of experience can be accepted as a challenge that may lead a person to try to arrive at a better understanding of the world and a better understanding of himself or herself, provided that you would want to engage in this kind of a thought process. If you don't want to do that, then obviously a stay in prison is a complete loss, a loss of years of life, a loss of health, etc.
Mr. President, I've talked with writers from South Africa who are actually nostalgic for the bad old days of apartheid when they were dodging the police and passing around manuscripts underground. And for a writer, it must be kind of thrilling to know that you really matter. You are the conscience of your country. And I'm wondering if you miss anything about those old days.
It's true that in those times certain things were easier in a situation when you are driven into a ghetto. Philosopher Patočka called this a community of the shaken ones, perhaps. And that kind of a community was marked by a great measure of mutual solidarity, when we all had to help one another. And from that point of view, certain things were better than they have been in a free environment. But I am very careful about yielding to perhaps inclination to indulge in a nostalgia for the old days, because it was clearly a bad time for the country, a bad time for its population, at a time that devastated the nation's soul, its economy, the country's landscape, etc. So whenever I should feel the temptation to indulge in some nostalgic memories for the times when we were all brothers helping each other instead of confronting each other, perhaps, from different political parties, I always repudiate that kind of thought speedily.
Václav Havel spoke with Steve Paulson. He plans to retire as president of the Czech Republic in February of 2003. Here is the ending dialogue of his band play, The Memorandum, written in 1965. This is the kind of writing that landed Havel in jail under the communists.
Josef.
Yes?
You didn't tell me the Watcher had come back.
Well?
He saw and heard everything.
Everything? What?
That I translated your memo.
Well?
He told on me and I was fired on the spot because I had translated an important Petadeep text before passing my exams.
But the use of Petadeep has been canceled.
Mr. Balazs said that's beside the point. A rule is a rule, he said. He said he had promised you to work like a mule and he didn't want to break his promise the very first day by compromising.
What are you going to do?
Well, I hate to bother you, but couldn't you perhaps reverse his decision? Or perhaps at least put in a kind word for me?
Dear Maria, we're living in a strange, complex epoch. You can't begin to guess how happy I would be if I could only do what you've just asked me to do. The more am I frightened, therefore, that in reality I can do next to nothing for you, because I am, in fact, totally alienated from myself. The desire to help you fatefully encounters within me the responsibility thrust upon me, who am attempting to salvage the last remains of man's humanity by the permanent menace to our organization from the side of Mr. Balazs and his men. A responsibility so binding that I absolutely may not risk the loss of the position on which it is based by any conflict with Mr. Balazs and his men. Besides, there is no point in further complicating my already complicated situation by taking too tragic a view of your prospects. Let's try to be quite matter-of-fact about it, shall we? You're still young. You have a whole life ahead of you. You've lost nothing so far. What matters now is that you must not lose your hope, your love of life, and your trust in people. Cheer up, my girl. Keep smiling. I know it's absurd, dear Maria, but I must go and have lunch. So, goodbye. Be good.
Nobody ever talked to me so nicely before.
That was the ending dialogue of Václav Havel's play, The Memorandum. You're listening to the music of the Czech rock band, The Plastic People of the Universe.
Prší, 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 víc než se sluší, děl velmi sedí na duši.
Formed as a response to the crushing of the Prague Spring in 1968, the Plastic People of the Universe was banned and its members imprisoned. Their arrest inspired Havel and others to write the Human Rights Manifesto called Charter 77.